Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland
on News Talk.
When you think about it, the number of pathogens, bacteria, viruses, fungi, parasites that we encounter, not just on a daily basis, but in every single moment of our lives, it's astronomical. And yet, for most of us, and for most of the time, we walk about this earth completely healthy and happy humans. And all of that would be completely different if it wasn't for the vast and complex tapestry that makes up our immune system. What exactly is it? Well, John Trousdale is Emeritus Professor of Immunology at the University of Cambridge. He joins me now. Welcome to the program, John. When we talk about systems, usually they're all together in some way, they're all linked in some way. But isn't it fair to say that the immune system sort of has lots of different bits that we kind of call the immune system, but many of them have different functions and don't really relate to them to each other at all?
You're right. There are lots of different bits, but they're all connected, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And indeed, every cell in your body is involved with defense. The immune system, of course, classically, it involves the spleen, the lymph nodes, the bone marrow, and all that kind of stuff, as well as, of course, the white blood cells in the blood. But they're all connected, and it forms a network. I would argue it's as complex as the brain in terms of the way it functions. And it functions throughout the body, in fact. The whole thing is linked to the brain and to all the other systems.
When you think of the complex machinery, and we did this last week talking about microRNA, when you think about the complex machinery that happens within the human body, it is an endlessly fascinating subject. But I suppose, you know, what we call the immune system is lots of really different things in a way, which is why I was kind of struggling with it. Our skin is the first barrier in our immune system. Then we have mucus, then we have cells. We've lots of these different things that don't seem to be in any way related that we kind of house under this immune system. But you say they're all related. So let's talk a bit about that. Let's start off with the skin, which is such a fascinating thing, our skin. Tell me about how it keeps us safe from the outside world.
Well, it's simply a barrier. The skin, of course, is a barrier to keep things out. But as a matter of fact, the skin is covered with a bacteria, friendly bacteria, around our sebaceous glands and our hair follicles. There are lots of friendly bacteria that actually we tolerate, if you like.
Mm.
And in fact, it may be healthier not to wash them all off every day to keep our skin healthy. I'm an advocate of not kind of scrubbing each day, getting rid of those bacteria, because it possibly means that other bacteria can get in. The difficulty comes when the skin gives way to the passage through the mouth and through the gut. There, of course, as you say, you need mucus, you need other mechanisms in order to prevent those dangerous bacteria getting in.
I want to talk about those in a bit, but when it comes to skin, is it just a physical barrier or is it more complicated than that? Do we have, when you talk about friendly bacteria, do we have microorganisms or do we have cells on our body that are in themselves doing something in terms of an immune response? Or is it simply, you know, a sheet that protects us?
Well, the top layer is a barrier. It's a hard, the epidermis, it's a very hard barrier. But as soon as you get down inside the skin, there are legions of cells there ready to protect against any incursions. That there are cells every kind of few millimeters of the skin or less. There are cells there waiting to deal with any cut or graze.
So talk to me about what happens then with our immune response. When I catch myself on some barbed wire as I'm trying to do something I probably shouldn't on a Saturday night, talk to me about what's happening inside my body if there's some sort of pathogen on that barbed wire.
Well, even if there isn't a pathogen on that barbed wire, the immune system goes into hyperdrive. So as soon as you get any kind of minor cut or wound, you get inflammation taking place.
What does that mean? What is inflammation? Because you hear about it all the time, but what actually does inflammation mean?
as I say, as soon as you get that cut, the blood vessels become permeable and cells from the blood, the white blood cells, flood into that area. They have a number of systems that take place. It's a kind of emergency response, if you like. So you get some kind of clotting to stop any bacteria circulating. And then you get cells, macrophages, and cells that literally eat the bacteria flooding in. There's also some other cells called neutrophils that, again, they kind of attack dogs of the immune system. Again, they attack any infection. But of course, you also get symptoms such as pain and swelling. And those are all part of a natural system of dealing with that wound. And as I say, it's not just infection with bacteria. The immune system is involved in repair of that wound as well as dealing with the bacteria.
Is pain a part of the immune response?
It is, absolutely. Yeah, as soon as you get any cell destruction, and I would argue that disease, it's difficult to define disease, but I argue that disease is actually usually involves some kind of cell damage. Whenever you get any cell damage, the pain is there to signal to you to avoid moving that part. Hmm. But also it's part of the immune response. And that's whenever you get inflammation. And I think, as you know, inflammation isn't just to do with a wound. It's also goes along with other kinds of problems. This chronic kind of pain involved in inflammation in the gut, for example, or in conditions such as autoimmunity.
And so we have all of these specialized cells that are released from where exactly? Where do macrophages and killer T cells and neutrophils, where do they all come from? Are they already just floating about waiting to be called, or are they in a particular repository in our body?
They come from the bone marrow, and they are recruited from the bone marrow every day. Billions of those cells flood into the blood. And they circulate for a while and deal with any incursions, as I say.
Do they have a lifespan?
The lifespan, it varies on the different kinds of cells, but some of them are just a couple of weeks.
Our bone marrow creates these cells, and once they're released into the body, they sort of float around waiting for signals. And if there's no signal, they don't come across the signal over the couple of weeks, they just they break apart and become waste and are recycled again.
Yes, but there's a range of different lifespans of some of those cells. Some of them are cells, like, for example, if you have an infection or a vaccination, some of those cells are kept behind as memory cells, so they'll deal with a future infection of the same organism.
Yeah, people are familiar with this, I'm sure, the idea that you can infect yourself with a small amount of something that isn't, it isn't dangerous, and your immune system then learns what this pathogen looks like, and it can then aggressively attack it in big numbers next time it sees it. But where do we store these mugshots of criminals, so to speak?
That's a good question. It's really not clear where those cells are kept, actually. It could well be in the bone marrow, but there's been a long debate over several decades whether, in fact, what we keep behind is a little bit of the protein from a little bit of that virus or the bacteria, keep that behind, or whether we keep cells behind. And now I think the debate is settled in that we keep those cells behind, and they go somewhere probably in the bone marrow, and those are kept ready for the next incursion of that organism.
What happens when the immune system doesn't do its job, or what is it? What are the things that stops it from doing its job? Because there are things like MS and lots of other conditions, autoimmune diseases that happen when the immune system is supposed to recognize something as a bad guy and doesn't. What is happening there? And is it possible to transfer someone's ability to have an immune response from one person to another?
Well, two different questions there.
Yeah. Well, that's me.
What's happening with autoimmunity is that it's really not clear, but there's 100 or so different autoimmune conditions. And some of your listeners, I'm sure, will know about this from firsthand experience. They're very common. Hmm. Things like multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, type 1 diabetes. These are all conditions where you get inappropriate inflammation. So somehow the immune system mistakes your own body for some kind of foreign invasion, and it starts to make an immune response to your own cells, and that can be life-threatening.
But we don't know why. Aren't we often in these diseases? We don't know why the immune system is acting in that way. But is what you're saying. What about something like food? I mean, we often hear that, you know, the body doesn't like something foreign, but food is foreign. Why does our immune system not attack and reject food?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Of course, food is foreign, and some people. It's not the same as ourselves. It has different proteins on. And some people do respond inappropriately to food that they take in. And it's a big question of why people respond to, for example, to peanuts or other to milk or to wheat. Hmm. And in fact, we don't really know. What we do know is that those kind of conditions are increasing in Western civilizations.
Yeah.
So if you were to look in the literature in the 1950s and 1960s, there was hardly a mention of allergy to food. Now you hear about it every day in the newspapers. Mm. And someone is allergic to peanuts or some other kind of protein. It's not clear why, but it's thought that it's the modern, something to do with our modern lifestyle. Because if you go to areas in Africa where that they have a lack of a Western diet, they have a much, much more mixed diet and have much more contact with bacteria and with germs in general, it appears that there's much less allergy, much less response to these food antigens.
When it comes to food, food is obviously a foreign thing. Is there something about our the mouth to anus tube that we have that sort of strips away the dangers, or how do we go from external and dangerous and covered in bacteria food to the gut, and then that material then goes into our bodies in some way stripped of any harm? What is the role of our gut in the immune system?
Yeah, that's interesting, because it appears that we become tolerant to those food antigens early in life. So part of the mechanism involves the microbiome. So these 3 pounds of bacteria that you have inside your gut.
Pounds of bacteria?
There's a lot of bacteria in there, in the microbiome, and they travel along with you, and they are part of the tolerance mechanism. But in fact, it's not really clear why some of us are allergic, but it's apparently lack of exposure to organisms, certainly in those early years of life. And it's thought that we can desensitize people by exposing them to, for example, babies, give them peanut butter early in life, not too early, but after, once they start weaning, a little bit of peanut butter might desensitize them. Now, people became very afraid of peanuts because of the incidence of allergy. So they stopped giving babies any peanut butter in early in life. And we think now that might have been a mistake, because that may be the reason why they're sensitized. And in fact, the idea... The current idea is that actually, if you eat peanut butter as a young infant, then you become tolerized. If you don't become tolerized, and you get then exposure of the skin to peanuts from maybe your mother's had a peanut butter sandwich and she kisses you, and then you get an inappropriate response, your body interprets that like an infection, if you like, and then you get this allergic response that's set up.
Let's talk about mucus, because it's not something that we talk about a lot, mostly because it's quite gross, but presumably it has some sort of function in the immune system. The mucus in our nose, the mucus around are the other holes in our body. What does this stuff do? And is it all generally the same, is it made up of different things to perform different jobs?
Yeah, there's a number of different substances in mucus that are antibacterial, if you like. So it's very important. And if your mucus dries up in your nose, you're likely to get infected. So it has a key function, as, along with other mechanisms, like, for example, in the lungs, cilia moving these little rods that move back and forwards and get the bacteria out of the lungs that entrapped in the mucus. So, yeah, it's critically important, the mucus, as an additional kind of antibacterial layer, if you like.
Well, very interesting to speak with you. John Trousdale is the author of What the Body Knows, A Guide to the New Science of Our Immune System. John, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Science Foundation Ireland
on News Talk.
This summer, discover American Giant's timeless, high-quality clothing made right here in the USA. Every piece is designed for quality and style that's built to last. From vintage-style tees to tough tank tops, breathable polos to lightweight sweatshirts, you can find your perfect fit. Celebrate American craftsmanship and support local communities with every stitch. Go to American-Giant.com and use promo code STAPLE20 for 20% off your first order.